Hi, this is Connie Smith with OSU Extension in Fairfield County. And, you know, we're taping for our weekly Fairfield Focus show, but also for 88.9 WLRY, the farm page. I have one of my master gardeners. I have Lise Ricketts with me today. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
So for our listeners, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be working with my master gardeners over the next few months, because we're going to wake up the garden.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And, you know, Lise, here's the thing. I wanted to bring you in first because if you don't know, we have a Fairfield County Master Gardener kind of a group page following, and you help with that.
Yeah.
But you were as giddy as a kid at Christmas when you got seed catalogs.
Tell me why. Usually, the first seed catalog comes either right before Christmas or right after Christmas, and it's like the gift that keeps on giving every year. You know, it's like I can't wait. I sign up in November for the Baker Seed Heirloom Seed Catalog, and I always wait, you know, because I never know what the cover is going to be like, and they always have some very interesting seed selections that are not normally in, like, the parks and the burpee and all the other traditional catalogs. Okay.
So I've been out and about a little bit, and I've seen, like in a lot of the box stores and garden centers, the seeds are coming in. The seed displays are coming in. And those are all cool, but you're pretty diehard getting into these seed catalogs. And why do you do that? Is it just for variety? Tell us why.
Well, first of all, you can look at a seed packet in a big box store or anywhere, and it gives you the basic information. I like to analyze what the germination rates are, and a lot of times the seed catalogs will give you more information rather than just, you know, from the seed packet. Variety is a lot more abundant within the seed catalog.
Okay.
And I also like to try new things that nobody else has.
Yeah. So when you say you try new things, do you challenge yourself each year with like a new tomato variety, or is it a new zinnia? Because I know you're big into zinnias.
Yeah. Right. My husband loves tomatoes, and I like them cooked and in sauces and everything. But when we first get the first tomato on, you know, he's all excited. And so
there's usually pictures on Facebook of the first tomato as it starts to ripen. There's like a progression. And
you know, I think he grew up with just the traditional tomatoes, and now I've gone into some of the heirlooms, the black crims, the rainbow blends, you know. In fact, I really like this Costoluto tomato, which is an Italian tomato, and it's deeply ridged. And they say, you know, when I'm reading through the catalogs, they say, well, the chefs prefer this because it has such a pretty look on a sandwich. So I try a variety of different tomatoes, and then he gives me the taste test.
Yeah. So I know also you have three little grandbabies.
Yes, grandbabies.
Yeah. But do you incorporate some of the produce from your garden? Do you try to get them to try things?
Well, Amelia is my six-year-old granddaughter. The two boys are a little young yet. But she has been my gardening buddy. And so she is not really into the tomatoes, but she loves the carrots and she loves all the other things, the strawberries. We have a raised bed that we put in, and it is overgrown with strawberry plants at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so she always comes over, even in the wintertime, and says,
really?
Can we look to see if there's any flowers? Because we've had such a warm winter.
Yeah. So do you think, Lise, for those people who are maybe like you, maybe their grandparents or their parents who just want to teach their kids a little bit about gardening, why do you think that's an important lesson for Amelia?
Well, I think, you know, being a former teacher, I see a generation of kids that really don't know where food comes from.
Yeah.
You know, it's either fast food or it's at the grocery store. And I think it's a real important aspect of learning is learning how and how to actually grow things, because you never know when you may need to be able to be self-sufficient.
Absolutely. So when you get these catalogs and you sit down in the easy chair with, you know, a cup of tea and some catalogs, how do you keep track? I mean, do you have a journal you work through, or do you kind of know from year to year, this is what I'm going to order, this is what I'm going to grow? How does that work? What's your system?
Well, first of all, I do grow quite a few sunflowers. Okay. And I even talked to my husband this past year after when we were cleaning up the garden, and I said, you know, the creek that runs through our property, I said, what about if we till that little strip on the one side and actually put sunflowers there? And he said, well, let's go for it. Well, whether or not it happens.
We're February here, at least.
We're February, I try to, you know, if I am always looking for the biggest sunflower producer, you know.
Well, you entered a sunflower head at the fair.
And it didn't do anything.
Oh,
I mean, there was another one. And so I look, and I know Baker's Creek Heirloom Seeds, they proclaim that there's this world's largest sunflower. Well, it wasn't exactly the world's largest.
Yes.
But I enjoy it because I enjoy the sunflowers because they're such great pollinators, and they attract the bees and the butterflies and all the other insects that need, you know.
Are you a bird feeder? Do you like to watch the birds on your, not?
No, I'm not. You know, don't go into the bird thing.
Don't go into the bird thing.
Yeah,
so you don't like to watch the sunflower, the birds on the sunflowers?
We have yellow finches that just terrorizes. And
really?
Oh, they love the sunflowers. And I'm terrified of birds because I had a really bad experience with a flock of birds one time and when I was little. And
well, you know what? That's okay, because I'm the same way. Our listeners would not believe this. Yeah. I am scared to death of chickens.
Oh, well, yeah. Anything with feathers.
Anything with feathers. And like, it was a bad childhood experience.
Yes.
And my kids have raised chickens, and I'm like, get me away. I don't care how cute those things are. That when they grow up, they're not nice.
Right.
They're not
right.
nice. So I get that.
Okay.
I get all
well,
that.
Whenever I go out in the morning, the finches really love the sunflowers. Mm-hmm. And before I enter my garden area, I always clap my hands, kind of scare them away.
Scare them away.
They can eat as much as they want when I'm not occupied in there.
Occupied in the garden.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you, okay, so let's get back to like the flowers. We know you love your flowers. And let's tell people about, you give away these gorgeous little bouquets. Tell us about that.
Well, I look for, you know, zinnias are probably the best kept secret for a cutting garden.
Okay.
And you can cut zinnias and they will last for almost 2 weeks if you keep refreshing the water. Well, I like to look at different colors of zinnias. I look at salvia, celosias, I actually use a lot of coleus in my arrangements. And so usually it takes till about the 1st of July before I can actually do a decent cutting. And I have more flowers than I can obviously use and appreciate myself.
Yeah.
And I'll do major cutting, and I will probably put together 10 or 12 different flower arrangements utilizing just tin cans,
soup cans,
whatever I have. And then I post on my Facebook page if you need to brighten up somebody's day or you need to be brightened up with, you know, a bouquet, please come and get it. And so.
Well, okay, how did that start? I mean, was that just because you had more flowers?
I had more flowers, but I also know that sometimes people just need something to brighten their day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes me feel good that I can and spread the wealth.
And the gift of gardening.
Oh, yes.
Don't you think the gift of gardening, whether you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, gosh, I'm too busy to have a garden. I don't want to grow tomatoes. I don't want to. Think about what Lise has said with us about educating her granddaughter. Think about brightening someone's day Or maybe it just brightens your day at home.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's garden therapy. You know, as soon as I can start planting my seeds, you know, it's just a happy place.
It's a happy place.
It is.
It's a good place to be. And I am so pleased to have Lise Ricketts with me, my special guest. And we talked a little bit about seed catalog ordering. There's all kinds of things out there. Maybe that's something you would like to try. If you would, you know, please give us a call here at the Extension office and we can try to help you out with that. But more importantly, I want you to keep watching because next week we're going to feature another good Master Gardener about the importance of the journal. Now, Lise, what's the importance of the journal for you? How does this keep you organized?
Yeah, it really does. And I used to keep everything in my just daily planner, and my daily planner got too disorganized, and I had this epiphany. I will find a planner that will be strictly gardening, and I will keep track of germination dates in my greenhouse and how long each particular variety of flower it takes.
Will it help you keep track of seed orders, when you've ordered, you've brought, so you don't double order or so you don't,
Once you start, or I there's a seed addiction here.
There's a seed addiction going on here. My good friend and master gardener, Lise Ricketts, her seed addiction problems. We are sure happy to have her on the 88.9 WLRY farm page. We'll have to come out and check out this garden.
Okay.
See how all these seeds grow.
Oh, yeah, Lise. They will.
Thank you for being a part. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.